And we're just thankful that you can be here. This is a special day. August 2017. This place became a lot louder. My peace and quiet was broken forever. That was the day that Matt came. And it's been good having you here, Matt. I was thinking of just having like a little routine up here where I kind of made fun of you a bit, but I do that often enough. So here's what I want to say about Matt. Every week, at least once, but usually many more times than that, he says to me, "Is there anything that I can do for you this week?" And I love that. I really appreciate it. And one of these days, I'm going to take you up on that. So thank you. I love you, Matt. And I hope this is a really special day for you. And yeah. Matt is a good man, and we are extremely lucky in this church to have him, and even more lucky to have his wife. So if they're a package deal, we're in good stead. So I'm going to invite Lauren to come up, and he's going to lead us in the next part of our service. And so come on up, Lauren.
Well, it's good to be with you again, and especially for this special occasion. And if it sounds like I'm reading from a script for this next portion, it's because I am. It's important enough that I don't want to ramble. And I will be calling Matt and Beth up in a minute. Don't think that I've forgotten. There is a place to remind me. Salvation for all of us is at the same time a call to serve the living and true God. Beyond that call, God gives a special call for vocational ministry in which he places within an individual a deep conviction that God has gifted them, provided for their training, and opened opportunity for them to serve in particular roles. To that call, Matt Beitler has responded. Ordination with our association of churches, the Associated Gospel Churches, is a public recognition of and an affirmation of that call, and at the same time, an authorization for him to serve in his respective role. You as a congregation have invited your family of churches, the Associated Gospel Churches, to conduct this public service because you believe that Matt is called by God to be an ordained pastor. The Associated Gospel Churches has examined him and agrees that his life, gifts, call to ministry, philosophy of ministry, Bible knowledge, and understanding of our views of doctrine qualify him for ordination to pastoral ministry within our family of churches. The purpose of this service is to affirm the church's recognition of God's calling on Matt's life, to review the uniqueness of his calling, and to have him affirm his commitment to our family of churches in terms of doctrine, policies, and practices before God and this congregation, and to proceed with his ordination. So Matt, at this time, I would invite you and Beth to join you as you come up here on the platform for a time of recommitment and dedication. And I notice you have a mic with you because I will be asking for some responses along the way. If you stand a little bit more forward, I don't have to turn around all the time, and that would help me. The Word of God speaks directly to a number of issues related to the gospel ministry and those who serve in it. We will have some scriptures read, and I will ask Matt to respond to commitment questions related to those passages that are read. So I invite you to hear God's word as it relates to conversion and the call of ministry, to ministry. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John 3, verses 3 and 5. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Matt, do you believe in your heart that you are genuinely born again and called to the pastoral ministry as God's will for your life?
Yes.
Now hear God's word as it speaks about the scriptures and your responsibility to them. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Matt, are you absolutely convinced that the scriptures are verbally inspired and sufficient for all doctrine within the church and for the believer's spiritual growth and service? And are you determined to teach the people committed to your charge only that which is revealed in the scriptures to be sound doctrine and in accordance with the statement of faith that you are asked to sign?
I am.
I invite you to listen carefully to God's word as it relates to your personal devotional life. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with weakness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Matt, will you be faithful in prayer and in the reading of the Bible and in the diligent study of the scriptures, carefully applying your total being to that which is in conformity to the will of God for your life?
I will.
Now hear the word of God as it relates to your personal life. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household with all dignity, keeping his family in submission. Matt, will you be careful to conduct yourself and to lead your family in accordance with the teaching of Scripture? And will you be diligent committing yourself and encouraging your family as far as you are able to be worthy examples to the flock of Christ?
I will.
I invite you to again hear God's word as it relates to the unity of the Spirit among believers. Strive for peace, everyone. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, be at peace among yourselves. Matt, will you maintain, as far as you are able, harmony, love, and peace among all believers in all Christian groups, and especially among those who are and shall be committed to your charge?
I will.
Now listen carefully to God's word as it relates to the two ordinances. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Paul writes about the Lord's Supper, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Matt, will you faithfully minister in the proper observance of these two ordinances and encourage those in your charge to faithfully observe them as valid expressions of their Christian commitment.
I will.
Are you prepared here before the congregation to which God has called you as a shepherd to place your signature in support of and agreement with our statement of faith policies of the Associated Gospel Churches?
I am.
Okay, Matt is, for the sake of having a second service at which his family will be present, is going to delay signing on those. We could have him go through the motions, but we are going to just delay on that until the second service. He will sign those. So at this time, I'm going to ask Myron and the spiritual leaders of the church to come forward. And if your knees are in good shape, I'm going to ask you to kneel down, and we will surround you, and with our hands on you, we will commit you. And I believe, Myron, you've asked one of the leaders to, okay, Pete, and then Myron and myself will pray. So yes, you can just hand the mic to them. And let's do it here where everybody can see you rather than hide behind the pulpit. So let's surround Matt and Beth. No, that doesn't come until you get up. Come on in, guys.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Matt. We thank you for his love for you, for his love for your word. Thank you for what you have done in his life and what you continue to do in his life. We pray that you would give him boldness to preach the word, help him to be ready in season and out of season. Grant him wisdom to know when to correct, when to rebuke, and when to encourage, so that he will fulfill his ministry that you have called him to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Matt and Beth, and I thank you that you have brought them, called them to this place for this time. And Lord, over the past 4 years, they have been a blessing to us. And I hope and I pray that we somehow have been a blessing to them as well. Father, I pray that the continued ministry that happens here through Matt and through Beth would just be honoring and glorifying to you, first of all, and beneficial for all of us here at the West End Community Church. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And thank you for bringing Matt and Beth to us. And we just pray for, we just thank you. And we pray for your guidance in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come as we continue serving here at the West End Community Church. Thank you, God.
And God, I would ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and head of the church, that Matt and in partnership with them, Beth, would sense the affirmation of God on their lives as children of God. That's where our primary affirmation comes, our standing with you through faith in Jesus Christ. May they sense the confirmation and affirmation of this congregation as they continue to serve faithfully, that they know that they are loved and appreciated. And may this congregation be ready and expressive in their affirmation of his ministry in their midst and their lives shared with them. God, I ask that you would empower them with the spirit of the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ, that what he does is done in the strength of your spirit, for the honor of the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name he serves, and in whose name we commit them to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You need help getting up there, Matt?
I might, yeah.
Well, Matt, on behalf of the AGC, we present you with this gift in terms of just our appreciation. We look forward to continuing to serve together with you here in McGregor. You're all ready to go down. I'm not sure whose Bible is that. Yours? Did you want to preach?
Yeah, well,
Good, that's the right answer. It is my privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. Before I do that, I thought I would just give you a very, very quick update in terms of our family of churches, the Associated Gospel Churches here in Manitoba. I know those churches, of which 3 out of 8, which is a significant number, are in the process of looking for spiritual leadership, the church in Gladstone, and Glenboro as well is in need of a pastor, and then the house church, South Point House Church in Winnipeg, is looking for just a very unique fit of somebody who has a heart for house church ministry and developing a network of house churches. So I know they would appreciate your prayers. Good news and thanksgiving is actually earlier this morning, I received pictures from my brother-in-law who's part of Parkside, and they're well on their way to framing in their new building, an extension. If you've ever been up there, their present church is actually, and I think this is kind of humorous, is it's a converted dance hall. And it has long outserved its purpose, probably when they moved it onto site, it was close to that already. But they are excited, and I know that they would want you to know that they are thankful to God for that. Also, I would appreciate prayer. We have in Western Canada, two Western Canada pastors' conferences that we call Refresh. Up until this year, we had one in early November in Swift Current, but we've added one in Alberta for the benefit of those who are in northern Alberta and BC and don't have to travel. And that those two are happening this coming week and then the week following. And if you think of it, I'd appreciate prayer. I'm actually leaving tomorrow because I'm going to be attending both of them. And then we have another training with another cohort of leaders from across Canada that happens, and it's called Establish. And there are 12 to 14 pastors who have been invited, and that will be taking place in the Hamilton, Ontario area at the end of November. So a full month for us. You may not realize this, and I'm segueing here to the message now. When your pastor or someone presents the Word of God to you on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of preparation that goes in behind the scenes. What you get when you come together on Sunday morning is kind of the end product. It's like being the guest at somebody's home and you're served a meal and you get to enjoy the benefits of the work that they've put in, the recipe that they followed. And hopefully, what you are served looks just as good as and tastes better than the recipe picture. Sometimes, when you know somebody well, they say, "Why don't you come early and visit?" And you get to watch them put the meal together and then enjoy it. This morning, I am intentionally inviting you into the process of watching and being part of the various ingredients that are going into the spiritual meal that by the grace of God I plan to serve up to you this morning. That doesn't mean I haven't given thought to it. It means I want you to be a part of seeing what the ingredients are that are going into what God has laid upon my heart. More than once or twice over this past year, I have wondered, in the midst of the various disruptions and restrictions that we have had to endure, I've wondered, what if God is wanting to do something new and fresh in our churches? Would we be ready to trade in the familiar for something new and different? I'm going to draw a number of texts to your attention in just a moment, because I believe that Scripture does show us historically that from time to time, God indeed does change things up. The reality for most of us is that church as we've known it for most of our lives has been relatively the same since the 1950s. I've been going to church since 1954, when my parents took me there, and I really didn't have any choice. But as I grew older, I made the choice to continue going. And it's just been part of the fabric of my life since 1954. Oh, there's been some minor variations, but stop and consider. Sunday morning is the focal point. It has been since the 1950s, if not earlier. We have a paid pastor that we expect to give direction and do a fair amount of the work of the local church. We have age and gender-specific programs for boys and girls and men and women. And we have a relatively predictable order of service. Church, as most of us have known it for most of our lives, has been relatively unchanged for the last 6 to 7 decades. Listen to these texts. The first one from the lips of Jesus, Matthew 9, 16 and 17. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilt and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. That word picture is also recorded by Luke in his gospel, chapter 5, verse 38, with this slight significant variation. He says, but no one, having tasted the old wine, is interested in the new wine. We like the old and the familiar. I was reminded of my next text in a Zoom call that I was a part of earlier this week on Tuesday morning. Isaiah 42, verse 9, and I'm also going to be reading a couple of texts from chapter 43. But God says to the people through the prophet Isaiah, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And then in chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, he says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. One final text that I've been pondering on and off for a number of months, and this was actually made reference to in a follow-up Zoom call. That was unfortunately most of my Tuesday morning Zoom calls. But Bill Allen reminded me of this text, and I'd been thinking about this before, and it's found in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And this is the primary text that I want to draw our attention to this morning. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They are on the brink of the Jordan River, ready to claim the promised land. And they set out from a place called, and some of us are reluctant to say it, so I'm going to say it in a way that's sounds right, Shittim. The other pronunciation doesn't quite fly quite as well. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and he lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits in length, which is approximately about 1 kilometer. Do not come near the Ark of the Covenant that is leading away, in order that you may know the way you shall go. Now listen to this phrase. For you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord shall do wonders among you. God, we invite the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the reminder of the truth of God that finds its focus in the person of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Holy Spirit, will you guide us into an understanding and an application of your truth in our lives personally and corporately, for the glory of the God that we serve. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. So that last text of Joshua 3 places us into one of the significant transition stories in the Old Testament. There's a change of long-term leadership. The giant of the prophets, Moses, who led them out of Egypt toward the promised land after 40 years of leadership, has died, and the mantle of leadership has been passed on to his protege, whom he had been training. Read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and you will see that he had been training this man for the mantle of the leadership to be passed on comes into place. There's been a change of generations. Only two men have survived who left Egypt. And one of them is Joshua, and the other is his cohort, his colleague, Caleb. And there is a significant change of locations. They are going from the wilderness into the lush promised land that has been inhabited by the Canaanites. They are crossing over a river. It's not a really big river, but it's significant. In terms of this is a new chapter. They are finally claiming the promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their forefathers. Excuse me. But more so, they are claiming that land that they left out to claim over 40 years ago, but only two have survived. For the sake of what I want to share with you this morning, I'd like you to think of this story as a roadmap. Or recommendations from long-time roamers who are about to change up their rhythms and their routines. So I want to point out what is relevant about this story, and we're not going to go into all of the details, to our particular situation today. The first similarity is this: embrace the new realities rather than living in denial, as the Israelites had done for the previous 40 years. Friends, our world is significantly different as we near the end of 2021 than it was at the beginning of 2020, just 20 short months ago. Consider the following, and I'm just drawing a few of these things to our attention. Never before in our lifetime has any of us gone through the gathering restrictions that we have experienced, and that shapes the look of the congregation even today. That's previously unknown in our lifetimes. Even if you can date back to World War II, there weren't restrictions to your gathering. You would have to go back at least to World War I and the Spanish influenza. Unprecedented restrictions in our gathering. Significantly different church attendance patterns. As I talk to pastors that I have the responsibility of working with and the privilege of working with, many of them are saying, giving different percentages, but I know the church that we attend in the city of Winnipeg, I would say 50% of the people have come back. 25 to 30% will not come back, and then there's some new ones that are filtering in. One pastor that I'll be meeting with later this week, who's part of a rural church, and by the way, this affects rural as well as urban churches, says, we are only seeing about a third of our regular attenders back so far. A third. He says, I suspect that another third might dwindle in over the next couple of months, and I suspect that a third will no longer show up at church. There are significantly different church attendance patterns. There are measurably higher levels of anxiety and fear. I don't know how often, but I know it's this, it's too often I'm hearing of people who are dealing with significant anxiety disorder issues. And the numbers of those incidents is much, much higher than we would have heard even 2 years ago. A drastic increase in the incidence of mental and emotional unhealthiness. My oldest daughter has a friend who works in the emergency department of the Health Sciences Center. And she says, we are seeing evidences of violence and attempted suicide escalate like crazy over the last 12, 15 months like we've never seen before. Strained relationships within biological and church families over health care issues. My brother, who's 2 years older than me, was visiting with us the other week, and he said, we have friends who actually said to their grandchildren, we're going to come and visit you what is potentially for the last time. Because we're betting bound, we're not going to, and you can fill in the blank, and we don't know if we'll ever see you again. That's the level to which relationships are changing. Not to mention, and I know every church has felt this, the levels of disunity within churches that have nothing to do with doctrine. Friends, we are only fooling ourselves to pretend that life and church are relatively the same as they were a short 20 months ago. They aren't. They aren't. And I would encourage us to be ready to move forward and embrace the realities rather than live in denial. Secondly, embrace the future with a forward focus rather than holding on to and wanting to return to our past ways. Looking ahead, which is a strongly validated biblical idea, needs to be accompanied by faith in a forward, all-knowing God rather than with fear about the unknown. Looking ahead needs to be accompanied by an anticipation of what lies ahead, and we'll go to verse 5 in just a few minutes, rather than an anxiety about the unknown. Would we rather have an adventure into previously unknown territory, or would we rather return to familiar places and ways? Dare I say that many of us default to the familiar old ways. We go back to the places we like rather than embracing the adventure of new places we've never been before. Looking ahead needs to be accompanied by daring to dream what might be rather than facing the future with dread. What is it that God might want to do that we've never seen before? I think of the Apostle Paul's word. I acknowledge this wasn't the primary idea he had in mind when he penned this phrase, but he said, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. He was thinking of moving on to capturing the prize that had been set apart for him for faithful ministry. But I think there's relevance to that phrase. We need to embrace the future with a forward focus. We need to learn to live not in denial, but with the readiness to move forward. Thirdly, we need to embrace the fact that new territory necessitates new learning and new leaning upon God in discerning where He is leading us, rather than just continuing on in our old, familiar, comfortable ways. We will need to let go of doing what we are doing, along with the sense of self-sufficiency that such thinking nurtures. And we will need to learn how to discern God's leading day and week at a time, not unlike how Jesus lived His life and did His ministry, constantly seeking His Father's leading in order that He might join in the work of His Father. He had a plan. But his daily and weekly agenda was wide, wide open. There were constantly these interruptions on the way to, but they were part of fulfilling the plan as he listened to his Father. I suspect that the new territory into which God is wanting to lead us will require a higher level of spiritual discernment and Holy Spirit leading than many of us are used to. How encouraging to know that God has given us stories in the Bible. The story of Joshua leading the Israelites. The story of Acts as they transition from the old Jewish ways into being part of the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ came to establish and building his church, comprised of Jews and Gentiles. How encouraging that we have stories that help us know what that looks like to lean on God's Spirit. We will need to embrace the promise of God's presence with us. You probably know this, but let me remind you, if you go back to the beginning of the story of Joshua chapter 1, as the mantle of leadership is transferred from Moses to him, God reminds him, I'm just going to read a few verses starting at verse 6. He says, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Now catch this phrase, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In fact, he tells him that story, as I was with my servant Moses, I will be with you. Joshua, as you lead my people into the promised land, and there are going to be moments where you're terrified and overwhelmed and wondering, who am I to fill the shoes of Moses? You need to remember this, Joshua, I am with you. That's a non-negotiable in going into the future. What does Jesus say to his disciples as he commissions them? Take the mantle, the commission that I gave to you, and go into the world and make disciples. And behold, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. In other words, until the task is completed. Two other things I want to mention briefly in conclusion. We need to move forward with the expectation that God is going to show up. Let me remind you of what he says in verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, set yourselves apart. And they did that through circumcision. They did that through a memorial. And he says, but I want you to set yourselves apart. But listen to this, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. If we anticipate in faith, I believe there are things that God wants to do in his church in North America that we have not seen in our lifetimes. But we can only experience those wonders as we move into ways that we have not traveled before. So what are we wanting? More of the same or more of God's presence and power? And the sixth and final thing I would encourage us with, as we see in this story, is we need to engage in setting ourselves apart to God to be used by him. If they want to see the wonders that God is going to do tomorrow, they need to meet the condition, consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Make yourselves available to God in ways that you have not done before. God, I am available. God, use me. God, give me courage. God, help me to be willing to do and step out and dare things that we've never done before. So what does this new territory that God wants to give us look like? What are the new wineskins that God might have for his church to contain the new wine of his Spirit? Quite honestly, and this is where the opening analogy of making a new recipe plays in, I really don't know. I've just given you the ingredients. I don't know. Do you mix them together in equal portions? I don't know. But I know we need those things. We need to anticipate the future. We need to have confidence in the presence of God. We need to look forward, not behind us. We need to stop denying the reality of the changes that are happening in our Canadian culture and lives. I don't know what the end product looks like, but I'm quite sure that I do know this with some certainty, that if there is something better and new that God is doing through these disruptions, I don't want to miss out on it by pining for the past and wanting to go back to what once was. What if the future actually is more bountiful, like the promised land, than where we've come from? We think that was good. What if the past has a barrenness to it that we've endured, and God's saying, I want to do something new that you've never experienced before for you and your children and your grandchildren? And what he needs is those of us who are grandparent age to lead the way. Joshua and Caleb were the old men, but they are the ones who kept the flame alive. God made a promise, he will fulfill it. We will lead the charge. They weren't dragged into the promised land kicking and screaming. They were leading the way into the unknown future. I don't know about you, but I want to leave the familiar wilderness of the past and enter the new but unknown places that God is calling his church to enter into and to claim for the sake of his kingdom. You might be thinking, would it be nice if you told us what the new future looks like? Then we could make up our minds whether or not we wanted to go. But then if I knew and I told you, it would diminish our need to trust in God to show us his better way forward. Matt, there's been a part of this service that has been about you, but as you said in the office, in a time of prayer with the leaders beforehand, you don't want it to be about you. And I agree. It's never about us. But what this story tells us, and I want to direct these words to you and the rest can listen in, because it's not just for Matt, it's for all of us. What I have described is actually the way of Jesus Christ. It's the way of the cross. I didn't just happen to put those on this morning. It's the way of the cross. It calls us to lay down our lives to embrace something bigger and better than we have probably known before. Not that the past was bad, but what if, and I'm inclined to believe this is the case, what if the future is bigger and better and brighter and more bountiful than anything we've ever experienced in our lives? And friends, there is a need out there. One of the assignments my wife and I are praying through in our personal lives, God has blessed us with a batch of grandchildren, as he has some of you. Our oldest two are in their 20s. They and their friends can't find a church that kind of fits them. We're praying about how can we as grandparents who have affection and influence help them shape an expression. When we talk to them, they said, none of our friends goes to church anymore because they don't find anything that's overly relevant about it. Now, I'm speaking for the city of Winnipeg. I'm not speaking for McGregor. But what if we could be a part of that and shape those new expressions that would infuse our grandchildren and their children with a new, fresh, spiritual life? So, Matt, I want to encourage you, lead with faith. Lead with courage. Lead with daring into the places that it is possible many of the people you lead have never gone before, but with the confidence and anticipation that God goes with you and he will not forsake you and you will not miss out on the blessing of what he wants. Let me pray for you in conclusion, and I believe then we're dismissed. Or there's, okay, I will close. Oh God, thank you for the word of God that challenges us. May your Spirit give us the courage and the grace to go places we have never gone before. May we not foolishly and presumptuously think we know what we're doing. May we not live in denial. May we live in the face of an unknown, as yet unshaped future. But may we go forward with our eyes fixed upon you, and with anticipation, with faith to believe what you still want to do in the midst of your people, here in McGregor and surrounding communities, and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me? Sometimes considering those things that Lauren has brought up, can be a little bit overwhelming, I think. And yet, if we try to do it on our own, we will be overwhelmed. But as he was talking, I just was reminded of these verses. I'm just going to read this as we close. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, it says this: "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Amen. You're dismissed.